Thank you. Good morning. And a warm welcome to you all, new and not so new. This evening at 6:30, we have our reflective worship. Pastoral news. Jacob Barley, an elder of this church and a big support for our church, is on an assessment weekend for ministry. Please pray for him. Pam Lawler's funeral is at Randall Park this Friday at 10:15. Jean Koresh's husband Omar is in hospital. On Thursday, we have our lunchtime piano recital here in the sanctuary, starting at 20 to 1. And then on Saturday week, the 25th, between 11 and 12, there is a coffee morning here in the foyer to raise funds for the Rotary Support to Eliminate Polio. Since they have been engaged in this, they've reduced polio by 99% worldwide. So let's help them finish the job. Now, refreshed by their homemade cakes, you should be ready to return to the church in the evening for the Ceilidh, which is a chance for friendship and dancing. And Ray Charlton has some tickets. Sorry, Ray, how much are they? Brilliant. £10. Perfect. This is a reminder about the commemorative book that has been written about the church members who served and died in the First World War. It's still available to buy. And it's £10, and John Fisher can link you up with that today. Raise your arm, please, John. Thank you. And finally, where's Sally? There she is. Sally would like to say something.
Sorry for yet more notices, but I really need some help. Sadly, my regular volunteer is no longer able to help me each week at Pilots on a Friday evening. So I'm looking for a team of people to come along and help. And I'm not expecting anyone to do this every week, okay? If the more people I can get, the less you have to do it. So I'm trying to get people coming along just occasionally. So if you think you could sign up to a rota, please let me know, because I can't run the group on my own. It's not legal. So I want it to continue, and I need people to come along and help me to do that. The other thing is, I wanted to share a good story with you about Messy Church. We had Messy Easter on Good Friday. We had 22 guests come along, and it was a lovely atmosphere. And last night, I was out in Kingston with some friends, and we saw a Messy Church family. And the mother said, it's usually the mother who brings her children, but on this occasion it was the dad who came. And she said they came home so excited about what they'd been learning, about what they'd been doing. And my husband, who actually was quite reluctant to come to Messy Church, but came because I kind of forced him to bring the kids, my husband came home absolutely delighted with it and raving about his experience here. So that is a really good news story, and just pray that they'll come back and they'll become more and more involved. So a big thank you to everyone that helped on that day. Thank you.
So in the story that we're going to be looking at today, three times Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." So as we come into worship, I want you to think about yourself and think about all the things that are troubling you. I want you to think about the things you do on Monday. I want you to think about your health. I want you to think about your significant relationships. I want you to go back and remember what it was that woke you up at 4 o'clock this morning. I want you to think about what it is that robs you of your peace. The disciples were frightened and they locked themselves away. Even though they had experienced resurrection, they were still frightened and they were locked away. And in the middle of it all, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." And if Jesus was here now and said to you, "Peace be with you," what would he be saying?
None beside.
We come as those with doubts. We come as those who need forgiveness. We come as those who are slow to proclaim Jesus as Lord. We come as those longing to hear words of peace. Come, Lord Jesus, as you came to Thomas, and set us free to worship you without hesitation and without fear. Amen. We join to sing, "Good Christians all, rejoice and sing." Have a seat. Can I ask, have you all got an order of service? Has everybody got an order of service? Yeah, okay. Because how it works is, this is probably, usually, not always, but the way we're going to take this service. So that helps you to know what's going to happen next. That's what it's there for. The colour, particularly the kilts on the back. Just because we're flashing funky, you know, that's what it is. For now, we are going to pray, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the Lord's Prayer, if you know this prayer in another language, in another version, do you know what? That's okay. That's cool. Do it. So we join together to pray. Let us pray. Compassionate, risen Lord, present among us. We praise you for placing the mission of your church into our hands. We know what it is to be hesitant. We do feel inadequate, and we certainly, certainly make mistakes. We ask that when we are cautious, you would make us confident. And when we fall down, we ask that you would pick us up. And when we are tempted to think about our fear rather than your strength, draw us back in your love. We know what it is to be like the disciples and want to lock ourselves away. So we ask, O God, that you would help us to open the doors of our churches and to be people that welcome. And we thank you for those times of welcome that we have been a part of. We thank you for occasions of hospitality. We ask that you would help us to celebrate times when we have opened the doors of our hearts and been people of compassion, and strengthen us, because it's not always easy and we have been hurt. And we thank you for those times when the life of our church has been a witness to your love and to your generosity, and we ask for your forgiveness for those times when it has not been. We thank you, O God, for those times when we have caught a glimpse of you, a glimpse of your peace, even when we were anxious, fearful, full of doubt. Accept our prayers, for they come in humility, in joy, and in trust, and they come in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art... So the Lord Jesus says to all of us, peace be with you. Peace. And we are going to sing about that perfect peace. Perfect peace. We join to sing. So last Sunday, the story that we had read here, which was from Mark's Gospel, has, at the end of it, the women being frightened. None of that lovely amplified story they get in John about the gardener, none of that. We were with the women who were frightened because of this amazing thing that's happened. And then you get that culture of fear continuing into this passage. which is, this amazing thing's happened, but you know what? When amazing things happen, that doesn't always keep it calm. So the disciples have encountered the risen Jesus, but they're still locked away. Still fearful. And Jesus comes. And Sally Butler will read this passage to us.
The reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me." In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles, which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. Amen.
Do come in, take a seat. And how can I help you?
I want to take legal proceedings against the church.
Not another one. What is the reason for your...
slander and libel on numerous counts.
I see. Do tell
all. It's like this. I've been a believer for years. From the very beginning, you could say. But like many others, I've had moments of introspection, questioning.
Doubt?
If you insist, but no more than any other believer.
Of course, we all have our moments of... But what precisely is your grievance with the church?
Due to this single instance of perfectly reasonable reflection... At a point, I may add, of high tension, when many wouldn't have even bothered to ask questions, the church has saddled me with a name which is inaccurate and deeply hurtful.
And the name to which you refer?
Doubting Thomas.
I don't think I'm going to be able to help you. I'm very sorry.
Why on earth not?
Well, honestly, you are Doubting Thomas. I might as well try to rebrand the Blessed Virgin Mary.
But it's not fair.
It's not exactly unfair. You said you wouldn't believe Jesus had been raised from the dead, a central tenet of your faith, until you'd felt the holes in his hands.
Sure, I said that, but I didn't, just for the record. I never needed to actually feel the holes in his hands.
Nevertheless, you said it.
Only because I wasn't there. The others were all there. They all saw him. Do you think they'd have believed otherwise?
You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm sorry, that happens, and dirt tends to stick.
Does it? So how come the other disciples get off so lightly? Why does Peter get to be the rock when he could have been Cockcrow Pete? What about John, always wanting to know who was going to be the most important in heaven? Why does he get to refer to himself as the one Jesus loved when he should have been self-important John? And Mary Magdalene, thinking Jesus was the gardener? How about Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden...
I get the point. I'm afraid yours is the flaw that seems to have gone down in history. What else are we supposed to call you? Do you have any other names?
Well, there's Didymus, but only my mother calls me Didymus. And Judas Thomas. But Judas hasn't been quite such a hot name recently. I was thinking, Handsome Thomas. I deserve it, don't I? For what, having been so badly treated all these years? It's not like I was a bad disciple. Quite the opposite. When Jesus decided to go back to Judea, where they tried to stone him once before, who was it who said, "Let us go, that we might die with him"? It was me. Can't I be called Thomas the Martyr?
Already taken, sorry.
When I saw Jesus, I exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." So some call me Thomas the Believer. Can't I make that name, you know, more official?
It's not very catchy, is it?
But look, I did nothing wrong. I believed. I was brave. I followed Jesus. And when he returned, sure, I had a slight lapse. But once I dealt with my disbelief, I was a brilliant disciple.
Yes,
I ought to be a role model. I'm a saint, aren't I?
I know that, but...
I deserve a name that Christians can look at and see as an example, an encouragement, something that encapsulates who they are.
You're absolutely right. I wonder if this name might be just the thing to act as a lasting encouragement to the church with all its difficulties and tribulations. With this name, you could be their greatest figure of hope.
Really? Thanks. That's fantastic. Hey, wait a minute. This says Doubting Thomas. That's what I...
The peace of the Lord comes to those who are locked away and frightened. Don't have to be the people who say words of strength. The peace of the Lord is the proactive thing. God is proactive to us, and our feeble worship, we know about that. But he's the one with the strength for which we are grateful. Now, in other churches, Sunday by Sunday, regularly, when it started a bit of kerfuffle in some, they pass the peace. Do they not? Take somebody by the hand and you look them in the eye and you say, "The peace of the Lord be with you."
And you can do it in two ways. You can do it in the peace of the Lord be with you, right, on we go, peace of the Lord be with you. Or you can do it in the peace of the Lord be with you, looking it in the eye sort of a way. And we're going to do it in the peace of the Lord be with you, looking in the eye sort of a way. We are going to do that. Guess what we are going to do now? We are going to pass the peace. I know you're all thinking, I hate that woman. At the end of this service, I'm going to punch her on the nose. Right. Peace of the Lord be with you. Look people in the eye and wish them the peace of the Lord. None of this lightsaber stuff. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be
be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near. Don't be afraid. don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near.
When the bidding finishes, with we say in response, peace be with you, we join to pray. As your church, crucified and risen Lord Jesus, breathe your spirit of peace into lands that are torn apart by violence, into communities that are divided. To those who are afraid, we say, peace be with you. Crucified and risen Lord Jesus, into families fragmented by broken relationships, into lives scarred by addiction, to those who are hurting, we say, peace be with you. To minds tormented by memories and guilt, to bodies diminished by illness, to those who feel unloved, we say, peace be with you. To our families, to our friends, as well as to one another, we say, peace be with you. And with our secret fears and secret burdens, you say to us, peace be with you. And we are glad. Help us to receive your peace, Lord Jesus. As we are, as we are today, may we receive your peace. And we pray in your name. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Yay. We join together to pray. Holy One, we do not doubt that Jesus the Messiah lives again. Yet, only one short week from Easter, our thoughts are cluttered with the activities and the agendas of ordinary life. And instead of being able to keep our focus on your abundance, we return to the pessimistic mindset of scarcity. So bring our attention back to the joy of Easter, to you and your power, and that we recognize all that we have received and be led to live, to give, and to love. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to take somebody's mistake and use the opportunity, which is this. Last Sunday, when Maddie became a member of the church, I said that I wanted an orderly queue of those of you who are regular worshippers here who have not come into membership yet. You know who you are. And one or two people made some cheeky comments to my cheeky comment to them. And so I was meant to meet with somebody straight after the service, and they're not here. So I'm saying, if you are somebody who is not a member of this church and you know you should be, we'll gather over there and we'll get things cracking on. Okay? Okay, I'll be over there by myself. No, I won't be. Okay. But for now, we're going to sing, and we're going to sing. We are going to fill this space with the sound of people praising the glory of God. And we could even clap. We could even clap. Is that a bridge too far? We could. Thine be the glory.
So let us go and share our wounds and our beliefs. Let us go to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Let us go to bring peace and to be agents of renewal. Let us go in all the communities to which we belong, with the power and the peace of God. Amen.